What is going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today. It's Francisco Rojas with you on Thursday. And there is a lot to get into. And honestly, right before I was about to, getting ready for this episode, I had the layout of what I wanted to talk about for the episode. Man, there was a big, very informational article put out by The Athletic's Matt Gelb, who is the Phillies beat writer, great Phillies beat writer. And he put out a really intriguing article about what the Phillies' plans are basically going to be, for the most part, are going to be come trade deadline or what they're looking at. We're honestly like a couple weeks away. I mean, we're right there. We're literally, I guess, exactly 3 weeks away today. So very fitting, I guess, but we're really close, faster than you think. So we have to talk about the article today. There's a lot of really, really, really interesting stuff on what the Phillies are going to be, what type of players are going to be targeting, which players they might be targeting. And I'm going to give you a package that I think I'm really intrigued on, that maybe wasn't put out by Gelb, but was put out by Jeff Passan. And I'm going to kind of tie it with the Gelb article. And so we'll get to that. It's going to be a big talking point of today's show. And have to talk about this weekend series. So we're going to start there. We'll end with a little series preview, the next series against the San Diego Padres, which hopefully goes a little better than this series against the Giants. So Phils win the last game of the series 13-0. It was not a fun weekend, though, outside of yesterday. It was a nice win. We got a nice big 13-0 win. It was a big game from Bryce Harper. But outside of yesterday, was not a fun series. Phils weren't able to get much offense against the San Francisco Giants on Monday and Tuesday. But we'll start with my observations and takeaways from just yesterday's game. And first one, and it's a pretty obvious one, but Bryce Harper, man, huge day for him, going 4-for-6 with 3 doubles and the home run. All of these were opposite field, which is a great thing to see from Bryce Harper. We know when Bryce is going really well, he's able to drive the ball out to left center field, and he's doing it very fluidly and confidently, which means he's seeing the ball very well. So hopefully this is a good sign of things to come for Bryce, because the first couple of months and then being hurt was not so great for Bryce. It was still, honestly, like numbers wise, was still above average year, but for Bryce Harper standards, not the best year, to this point. But hopefully this type of game can get Bryce Harper going. Hits the solo home run, has the 3 doubles, 4-for-6 on the day. So Bryce, huge day because, 7 games prior to yesterday, was hitting 167 with a 500 OPS and no home runs since he has gotten back, about 10 days ago. So that's a big game from Bryce yesterday. Second one, and a little bigger, not just Bryce, but big day from the offense overall, having 13 runs, and obviously Bryce was a huge part of that, but a big day from the offense overall. You get 13 runs on 17 hits from the lineup. They have a huge eighth inning that was, was put together by the, not put together, but rounded out, I guess, by Kyle Schwarber's home run. And Schwarber, had the home run, and that put a bow on that eighth inning. It was a ginormous eighth inning, and really broke the game open for the Phillies as they were able to score 6 runs in that eighth inning, and tacked a few more on in the ninth as well to put a again a big day from the offense. Outside of Trey Turner, I think everyone in the lineup had a hit. So big day from the offense. And we're actually able to score runners in scoring position. So honestly, a big deal too, because five to six, however many games prior to that, were not hitting well with runners in scoring position. They went 6-for-17 with runners in scoring position yesterday. So also a good deal from the offense there. Last thing, observation from the game, Jesus Luzardo having a really good bounce back start, especially he was a talking point after his start against Cincinnati, where he couldn't even, he only went barely a couple of innings. So Jesus gave up 5-6 runs. So Luzardo having the great bounce back start this time around, going 7 innings, 3 hits, allowing nothing, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. That was big. His issue this month, or at least in the month of June, was, runners on base. The hitter's average with runners on base versus when he has nobody on base, big drastic difference. And maybe the tipping was a part of that, but they thought they fixed it after those couple of games against Toronto and Milwaukee. In this game, didn't allow many runners on base in general, only allowed 3 hits and 1 walk. There was early on in the game where there was a runner in scoring position, but was able to get a couple of strikeouts in that inning to end it. And Jesus, just a ginormous, big, big, big start. Observations and takeaways from the series overall. First thing you think about after losing 2 of 3 again to the Giants in San Francisco is that it's another series loss at Oracle Park. Their woes in San Fran continue. They have not won a series at the Giants since 2013. So the Oracle Park woes continue. 8-27 at Oracle Park since 2013, I believe. I think that was the stat. But I mean, they just haven't won a series in San Fran since 2013. So it's been really bad. And continues though. Continues. They had a shot on Tuesday night. They're up 3-1. And we'll actually get to that moment in just a second. Second thing from the series, you can't really help but think about Jose Alvarado after this series. Considering Kirkering, throws 25 pitches, has been the Phillies' best reliever the last couple of months, but throws 25 pitches and was pretty much the reason that the Giants won that game, even though Phil Cuzzy didn't really help out. I mean, Kirkering had a strikeout about 3 different times in that at bat, but Kirkering still, at the end of the day, wasn't able to get the job done. And I know the ump was horrible, Cuzzy was horrible. But Kirkering throwing 25 pitches in that game, that's a high leverage spot, was not able to go on Tuesday night. So Jordan Romano was asked to get 5 outs. That didn't end up working out as the Giants walked it off. But you just can't help but think about Jose Alvarado being able to help out in these high leverage spots. Kirkering, Romano, Strom, that's the back end of your bullpen pretty much. And you really cannot help but think about Jose Alvarado's been good in the past in high leverage spots. There was at one point he was one of the best relievers in baseball for a stretch. And I know that was a couple of years ago now technically, but Alvarado was going well until he got suspended this year. And you just can't help but think about looking at Monday and Tuesday night thinking about, okay, Kirkering's not able to go. Well, maybe Alvarado is able to help out late in this game, either to close it out or that 8th inning to relieve Daniel Robert. I don't know, but Alvarado, you can't help but think about Alvarado after this type of series. And it's not the lazy thing to think about, because Alvarado, again, is supposed to be, one of the best arms in this bullpen, and he's not there anymore. So we'll get to more about bullpen stuff in the next couple of minutes. But can't help but think about Alvarado after the series. So that's my second thing. Last one is, look, that walk-off on Tuesday night was literally one of the worst and best things I've ever seen, I think, as a baseball fan. As a Phillies fan, it's one of the worst things I feel like I've seen in a while. And it feels like, really just was not fun. But also, as a baseball fan, it was really cool to see the inside the park. I mean, that's nothing more baseball than that. A 3-run walk off, you know, the Giants are down and they walk it off on a Patrick Bailey inside the park, 3-run inside the park home run to win the game. Again, horrific to wake up to and see that as a Phillies fan, but really cool to see it as a baseball fan. So one of the worst and best things I think I've seen in a while as a Phillies and baseball fan, just those two things intertwined, just one of the worst and best things I have seen. Okay, we have to get to this Matt Gelb article. And the title of the article was "What We're Hearing About the Phillies Trade Deadline Plans. Will They Take a Bigger Swing?" And there's a lot of really, really good things in this article. There's a lot about what the Phillies are, how big of a swing are they going to take this trade deadline, what they're targeting, who they're targeting, and there's a lot in here, man. There's a lot in here. And so I just kind of want to give you some of the cliff notes of things that I found interesting in some of the quotes. So one of the first things at the beginning of the article, here's the quote: "The Phillies, for now, sound more willing to trade bigger prospect chips for controllable big leaguers, especially a shutdown late inning reliever. The Phillies have a top-heavy farm system. Major League sources said initial indications are the Phillies want to shop this July in a more expensive aisle than the rental run, or the rental one, excuse me. They have the prospects to do it." And another one is, "Now Dombrowski is attempting to undo his offseason mistakes. That means sacrificing good prospects for win now moves." So those are the first two things. It looks like, and I kind of want to get to this next one that's a little later in the article, but I'll kind of tie it to this. But also, Gelb says, "When the Phillies progressed in trade talks with the White Sox for Garrett Crochet last summer, they were steadfast in deeming Andrew Painter untouchable. They have held firm on that stance this July, but everyone else in the organization, according to league sources, might be available to varying degrees." So it seems like everybody is available as far as prospects go, besides Andrew Painter, which, and I know he, and we'll get to an update on him in a couple of minutes. I know he has not been great, you know, so far, and I know he's come back from the Tommy John and everything, but I still want Andrew Painter. I don't think there's anybody out there that I'd be willing to deal Andrew Painter for. And so everybody, it seems like, is available besides Andrew Painter. Now, next one. "The Phillies have a specific interest in the American League Central. They've begun scouting the Twins more heavily this week in anticipation of them being sellers," league sources said. "Griffin Jacks and Yoan Duran will be prize targets if Minnesota makes them available. They're expected to listen. There is a potential match with the Cleveland Guardians, who boast a deep bullpen headlined by Emmanuel Clase. Teams expect Cleveland to take offers on Clase, who is signed through 2026, with a $10 million club options for 2027 and 2028. And so, looking at the AL Central, and now I want to tie in, which is what I said earlier, one package that Jeff Passan put together in a recent article. He did like a trade deadline, like potential deals for every MLB contender. And the one that he put together for the Phillies didn't include Griffin Jacks from Cleveland, but that's from Minnesota, excuse me. But actually looking to Cleveland with Class A, not two relievers, but he has a good fit. Emmanuel Clase for the Phillies, but Emmanuel Clase and Stephen Kwan. He said perhaps they could take a run at landing both Clase and Stephen Kwan from Cleveland. I think there's potential. I mean, that I'd be able to go after I mean, I think the Phillies should take a shot at that. I mean, Stephen Kwan, he's great outfield defense. No, he doesn't necessarily add the power, but I mean, hits for average, hits for an above average OPS, and plays really good defense. Stephen Kwan's really enticing, and Class A had a bad start to the season, but he's really settled in, and Class A, who throws one of the best cutters I feel like I've ever seen, I think Class A, when he's going, is one of the best. He's really been one of the best relievers in baseball the last like 3-4 years. It just seems like the start of this year wasn't so great. I'm looking at like Class A and Stephen Kwan. If you can package together without having to give up Andrew Painter, what they said, which they said they were, he's untouchable. If you can give up like, I don't know, like a Crawford, a Miller, because these guys are not, they wouldn't necessarily be rentals. Like they Kwan and Class A, you'd be, have beyond this year. Now Kwan go to arbitration the next couple of years. Class A has club options for the next couple of years, I believe. So there is potential, I think, that you could give up these top prospects if you're going after a couple of guys that aren't rentals. And I think Kwan is still relatively young. Kwan is 27. It's not young, but it's still young. And Class A isn't super old as well. So Class A is 27 as well. So I think I'd be willing to do that. Obviously, there's no Painter. I mean, depending on what you would do, I mean, maybe is there, I don't think they would, they take Kepler to go along with that? I would love that. Move Brandon Marsh to, or just keep Brandon Marsh in center and then move Kwan out to left field. There's a lot of intrigue with that. So, and then maybe depending on maybe David Bednar, I know he's been a name that's been out there forever, but David Bednar from the Pirates, maybe you can go out and get him depending on what else you could give up to go get Bednar. Look, I have been firmly upon the take of I still don't believe in this team, and I don't think they should even like make moves at the deadline, but that's not realistic. Let's be real. I came to the epiphany that I still don't believe in this team. I'm still at that point now that I really don't believe in this team, but we know that Dave Dombrowski is this team, they're going to go for it at the deadline. So if they're going to do it, let's at least look at trying to make this work is how I'm, that it's where I'm the mindset of. So, and I know you might be thinking, well, you're contradicting yourself, which what you've been saying for the last couple weeks to a month, but look, I'm being realistic here. Let's be realistic. This team's going to go for it. So if you're going to go for it, there's still a way you can keep Painter and go out and make some moves. Kwan and Class A is just so enticing. Like I really am in on that. Yoan Duran is another interesting one. Yoan Duran, Byron Buxton, that there have been like rumors out there. There have been hypotheticals out there. I think ESPN put one out a couple of days ago. I'm not really in on Buxton. Buxton just, I know he's been able to stay healthy for the most part this year, even though he did have a concussion this year. He just can't ever stay healthy. So, man, I'm really, really of the mindset that Class A and Kwan is just a, man, I'd really be in on that. So, but looks like the Phillies may really take a big swing here. Is this really the year that Dave Dombrowski makes a big move at the trade deadline? This could be it. This doesn't mean he's giving up Andrew Painter. But are they giving up a lot of these top prospects and no one else is untouchable by besides Painter? Or maybe they really like something to give up Painter, but I don't think I could see that happening. Especially because there's not really anybody out there like bat or relief pitching wise that really like moves the needle like a big huge name out there. There's not a huge one out there. You're really going, oh, screw it, let's give up Painter. Like there's nobody out there like that. So, but if you can, take a read on this article, Matt Gelb's recent article about what the Phillies plan to do at the trade deadline. So if you have, it is behind a paywall in The Athletic, but if you're able to, go read it. All right, last couple things before I get you out of here. Spend a little more time on that than, well, I anticipated I might spend a lot more time on that than I thought, but just a few more things that you need to know before I get you out of here. Andrew Painter update. So he pitched at the Syracuse Mets on Tuesday. Went 5 1/3. He allowed 8 hits, allowed 5 earned runs, allowed 3 homers, only had 3 strikeouts. So not the best appearance from Painter. He's been up and down this year. I don't know how concerning that is, but does this put kind of a speed bump into where and when, you know, when the Phillies want to bring him up, because they want to keep him, but when they want to bring him up, potential of that, but we'll see. But, you know, just one start, and we'll see. Come August, I think August is still the timeline, it looks like, for Painter. We'll see. So, but didn't have the best outing against Syracuse. Injured transaction, just know about. Max Kepler has a bruised right knee after he fouled a pitch off in his final at bat against the Giants yesterday. He is day to day. Aaron Nola, who is dealing with the stress fracture in the right rib, he threw a 30 pitch bullpen session yesterday in Clearwater. We'll throw another bullpen on Saturday. Series preview against the Padres. So the Padres are 49-43, third in the National League West. You might remember that the Phillies literally just played the Padres just a tiny bit over a week ago, and they took 2 of 3 from the Padres. But here we go again out in San Diego starting tomorrow. Padres 4-6 in the last 10 games. That'll be thank you to the Phillies to part of that. Their rankings right now, offense 23rd in runs scored, starting pitching 14th in ERA, and relief pitching 2nd in ERA. Friday, 9:40 start time, it will be Ranger Suarez versus Omar Cruz. Saturday, it will be Zach Wheeler versus Yu Darvish. And then Sunday, it'll be Christopher Sanchez versus Nick Pivetta. So that is what we are looking at. So Friday, 9:40, Saturday, 7:35, and then Sunday, 4:10 start times. So those are your start times for Phil's Padres. Okay, let me know. You can tweet me at @Rojas_media_. I want to know your thoughts on that Gelb article. What do you think about the idea that the Phillies are going to take a big swing come the trade deadline, parting with anybody's on the trade table? Brandon Marsh, it seems like, by the way, it seems like Brandon Marsh, Max Kepler could potentially both be on the table. I'm totally fine with Kepler being on the table. But those guys are on the table. So what do you think? I want to know from you, what do you want to see Dave Dombrowski do this trade deadline? So let me know at @Rojas_media_. That will do it for me. I'll be back with you on Sunday, but stay tuned for everyone else that does a great job on the channel. That'll do it for me, and talk to you guys soon.